马尔济从波兰向大家问候。
I'm happy to be with you all today, this midday in Poland and this evening in China.
现在呢，在波兰是中午，咱们在中国呢，已经是傍晚了。
So today we are continuing after I don't know how many weeks.
How many months? Seven months, Maharaj.
7 months? Whoa, okay. So we're continuing with Canto 7, and we'll be beginning Chapter 14.
Yes.我们今天继续学习圣典波迦瓦坛的第七篇，今天来学习第十四章。
And I will begin with some invocation mantras.
开始马尔吉会吟诵一些祈求吉祥的祷文。
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya.Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Mancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama He Krishna Garana Sindhu Dinavando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kantaradha Kanta Namostate Kapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari RishavanuSute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato JayamudirayetNashta Prayeshava Vadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki Mukam Karati Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripata Maham Vande Shri Gurum Dina Taranam Before we begin with chapter 14, I want to back upto reread one verse in chapter 11.
在我们讲述14章之前，我们想要回到chapter 11.
Yes. Verse number 35. Verse number 35.
现在来回顾一下第十一章的35节。
We may say that this is the most important verse in this whole final section of chapter of Canto 7, from chapters 11 through to the end of the canto.
我们可以说这是从第七篇中从第十一章到结束最重要的诗节之一。
Yes.
译文。
Yes, Yalakshanam Proktam Punso Varnabhasam Varna vivyanjakam yat anyatrapi drishyet tat tenaiva vinirvishet. If you could read that translation.
假如一个人展露出如上所述的名为 Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya 和 Sudra 的征兆，即便他出生在一个不同的阶层，也应该按照阶层的征兆去认定他。
This is Narada Muni. He is speaking to Yudhishthira.
这是 Narada Muni 对 Yudhishthira 大君所说的话。
And he's making very clear what is the basis for the Varna system.
他现在明确 Varna system.System, 就是是社会阶层它的基础何在
He is making an important point because many people in India have a different idea.
他在这里提出了一个重要的观点，因为印度有很多人是有着不同的见解的。
Many people today and many people in ancient times were thinking that your varna is completely depending on your birth.
今天的印度人和很多古代的印度人呢，他们认为一个人的 varna 他的阶层是完全取决于他的出身。
So they think.If you're born a Brahmin, then you're always a Brahmin in this life.
他们认为如果你诞生为婆罗门，那么你这一生就是婆罗门了。
Even if you don't act like a Brahmin.
但你行为举止并不像婆罗门。
And so on. If you're born a Kshatriya, then you're a Kshatriya.If you're born a Vaishya, then you're a Vaishya, and so on.
如果你诞生为沙地利，那么你这一生就是沙地利。如果诞生为 Vaishya, 这一辈子也就是做商人了。
So, Narada is saying, this is wrong.
Narada Muni 说，这种观点是错的。
He's saying, what it depends on,is your qualities.
他说这取决于你个人的品质。
So this is a somewhat radical revolutionary idea.
这当然是非常激进的富有革命精神的见解。
And so it'sIt's good to remember this statement that Narada is making.
所以让我们记着 Narada Muni 的观点是很好的。
Yes, we take Narada as our authority.
我们把 Narada Muni 视为我们的权威。
Therefore, we base our Varna understanding on what he says.
所以我们对 Varna 的见解是基于 Narada Muni 的言语。
So this, all these chapters, starting with chapter 11 and going through chapter 15,are very much about the subject of Varna and Ashrama Dharma.
11章到15章重点论述的是Varna Ashrama 的职责，就是四社会阶层和四灵性境界的人所应负有的职责。
We may remember from going through the last three chapters, 11 through 13, we're getting first an overview of the Varna system and then an overview of the Ashrama system.
我们从11章到13章首先概览了 Varnas 的体系，就是四社会阶层，还有Ashram 体系，四灵性进阶它的体系。
And in chapter 13, we got more narrow focus on the last ashram, the sannyas ashram.
第十三章，我们又重点来论述了最后一个 ashram， 就是 sannyasi 的ashram， 娑婆僧的境界。
And of course, all of this is giving details of what are the duties for each of the varnas and the ashrama.
所有这些章节呢，都给我们提供了这些阶层和进阶它的一些细节，他们的职责究竟是什么。
But yes, and each of these duties are specific to the ashramas.
所有的这个四社会阶层和四灵性进阶，他肩负的职责都是特定的职责。
But I think we can also benefit to remember instruction in the beginning of chapter 11.
我们看到第十一章的开头的这些训示的话呢，也去牢记他们也是非常有益的。
From verse number 8 through verse number 12, we get a list of 30 qualities which apply to everyone, which everyone should be aiming to practice.
第十一章的八到十二节列举了32项品质，这是每一个人都应该去渴望拥有的品质。
So these are applicable to everyone.
这适用于每一个人。
Okay, Gopi Krishna, do you want to read the translation for those five verses?
Yes. 十一章八到十二节，全人类应该遵循以下基本原则：真诚、仁慈、苦行，在一个月某一特定的日子届时，一天沐浴两次，容忍。是非分明，控制心意和感官，不用暴力，遵守布施，研习经典，淳朴知足，服务圣人，逐渐放弃不必要的活动，洞悉人类社会不必要而无意义的活动，缄默庄重，避免详谈，思考人究竟是躯体还是灵魂，平等的向众生，不管是人还是动物，派发食物，是每一个灵魂，尤其是处于人体躯体中的灵魂，为至尊主的所属部分。聆听有关这个至尊人格守神的活动和至尊人格守神，它是圣人们的庇护所给出的教导。唱诵这些活动和教导，始终铭记这些活动和教导，努力从事服务，进行崇拜，向人顶拜，成为主的仆人，成为主的朋友，全身心的献出一切。有迪士尼尔王啊，这三十项品质必须是人体生命所具备的。一个人仅凭获得这些品质，就能满足自尊人格守神。
Right. So, we are reminded what is the purpose of human life.
这里提醒我们了，人体生命的目的究竟是什么？
So, it's not so much about which varna or which ashram we're in that's important. What's important is that we realize our human potential.
你究竟处于什么样的阶层或什么样的境界， 就这些都不是很重要，重要的是你如何实现人体生命的潜能。
So now we go to chapter 14, which is called Ideal Family Life.
现在我们来讨论第十四章，这是第十四章的标题是理想的家居生活。
And of course, most people, are in family life, and all of us are existing in the world because of family life.
绝大多数的人都是处于家庭生活然后很多人也是因为家庭生活而生活在世间。
And it's beginning with Maharaj Yudhishthir and asking a question in an interesting way.
这一开始由第十第二大军以一种很有意思的方式询问了一个问题。
He's referring to the Griha Mudha D, those whose intelligence D is Mudha, foolish.
Griha Mudha D, D 的意思是愚蠢的。
And mudha di, those whose intelligence is foolish, who are griha, who are situated in the home.
Griha 意思是处于家庭之中 ，mudha di 的意思是他的智性是愚蠢的。
And Yudhishthir is being very humble because he says, "Madrisha, like me."
Yudhishthira 是非常谦卑的，因为他说 Madrisa 像我这样的人。
So he's identifying himself as one of these Rihamudati, as one of these foolish householders.
所以他把自己视为愚蠢的家居家之人中的一员。
Although we know Yudhishthir is a very exalted soul. In fact, he is a form of Dharmaraj.
但是我们知道耶律大军是一位崇高的灵魂，他是Dharmaraj 法王的一个形象。
But we also know he's giving an example, and the beginning of spiritual knowledge we know is to have an attitude of humility.
我们也知道他在为我们树立一个榜样，因为在灵修获得灵性知识的开始，首先人要谦卑恭顺。
So the first point that Narada makes to answer has to do with the importance of good association.
Narada Muni 回答说，首先，他强调了联谊的重要性。
verse 2 says, Vasudeva Arpanam Sakshat Upasita Mahamuni. Sakshat means directly.
这里说到了Saksha 的意思是直接的。
He says the householder should directly worship Vasudeva.
他说居士应该直接崇拜 Vasudeva.
Which of course is another name of Krishna.
Vasudeva 也是 Krishna 的另外一个名字。
But this name associates the Lord with the Pancharatra system.
这个名字呢是主与 Pancharatra 这个体系连接起来了。
So we could say there's implied here that the householders should worship the Lord in the deity form.
我们可以说这里暗示了居士应该服务主的神像形体。
And Satchat, to worship the Lord in the deity form, is direct worship of the Lord.
Satchat, 就是崇拜主的神像形体就是直接崇拜主。
And that's one thing, and the second thing is Upasita, Maha Muni. You should also worship great sages.
他还应该是 Upasita, Maha Muni, 要崇拜那些伟大的奉献者。
And one may say, but I don't have any great sages at home to worship.
有人说我家里也没有伟大的圣人让我来崇拜。
But Mahamuni can also refer to Shukadeva Goswami.
Mahamuni 也可以指的是 Shukadeva Goswami.
Which means if one is reading, studying, discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, then that is direct worship of the Mahamuni.
一个人阅读或者是研究圣典波迦瓦坛，他也是在直接的崇拜 Mahamuni.
And this is elaborated in the next two verses.
接下来两首诗节里详细的阐述了这一点。
And then, at the end of verse number 4, or just verse number 4, 2 points are there. One is endeavoring to make gradual process.
第四首诗节里说到一个人努力的循序渐进取得进步。
And the other is, this gradual process is about becoming detached, from affection to other family members.
这个循序渐进的进步的过程就是逐渐的摆脱对家人的依附。
Now, this is something which is quite difficult for people to accept or to appreciate.
这是很难让别人去理解或者是欣赏的。
But we may remember what Krishna is telling Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 13 of Bhagavad Gita.
我们可以想起 Krishna 在博迦梵歌第十三章中对 Arjuna 的教导。
He gives a list of different qualities and attitudes which constitute jnana or knowledge.
他列举了一系列的心态和活动构成了 jnana 知识。这个方面。
And so if we understand that what we want is to realize knowledge, we don't want to be in ignorance, that means we have to aim for also this attitude. Asaktir anabhishvanga putra daragrihadishu, being detached from children and wife and home, etc.
如果我们明白自己需要获得觉悟，而不是处在愚昧之中，就是获得 jnana， 那么我们应该逐渐的摆脱对妻子和孩子的依附。
So of course that instruction is for the men, but for the ladies.It's the same, except instead of attachment to wife, of course, it's attachment to husband.
当然，这个训示是给予男人的。如果是对于女子来说，她应该逐渐摆脱对丈夫的依，和孩子的依附。
And back to Narada, his teaching in this chapter, chapter 14, Canto 7, he says one should gradually become detached from affection for his wife and children, exactly like a man awakening from a dream.
那儿的母女在这里教导说，一个人应该逐渐摆脱对妻儿的依附，就像是一个人，从梦中醒来一样。
So the example, the analogy, suggests that as long as we are attached to family members, we're actually dreaming, we're sleeping.
所以这里就是打了一个比方，如果我们依附妻儿，那就像是在梦中，或者是在做梦一样。
Okay, let's read verse number 5.
第五节，译文：一位博学之人为了谋生而工作，以维系躯体和灵魂，的需要。他要生活在人类社会中，不依附家庭事务，尽管外在看似极度依附。
So, this is an interesting statement in the second half of the verse. Virakta, raktavat. These are seeming contrary words.
为 raktavat 似乎是一对矛盾的词儿。
So, virakta, means detached. And raktavat means as if attached.
为 raktavat 是毫不依附，raktavat 是好像极度依附。
Both of these words come from runj. This Sanskrit root would be runj.
这两个词儿都来自梵文词根 range。
From runj we get rakta.
从 range 我们得到了 recta 这个词儿。
So this word runj has to do generally with color.
range 与颜色有关。
I'm just going to try to look it up and see if I get this right. And so it has runj, yes. Okay, as a verb, it means to color or to paint or to make red.
range 的本意是，就是给什么上色，使什么变成红色，这染色的意思。
But it also means to rejoice or to charm.
它也意味着是使什么愉悦，或者是什么使什么得到迷恋。
And a runjaka is, or runjaka is exciting passion or love.
runjaka 的意思就是令人激动的那种激情，或者是爱。
And so, if we think about these two ideas of coloring, painting, and exciting passion or love, we may get a picture of what detachment is.
如果我们想到了 range 的这个动词，它的意思是上色，或者是令人激动的情感，这时候呢，我们就知道不依附应该是怎样的了。
And what Narada is saying here is very interesting. He says, be detached, but act or appear as if you are attached.
Narada 这里说的说法很有意思。他说你不依附，但是呢，你行为举止又好像是依附一样。
Now, why would it say something like that?
为什么他要这样自相矛盾呢？
He's saying that because he's promoting a stable society.
因为他想要宣扬一种稳定的社会。
We have a saying in English, don't rock the boat.
英语里面有一种说法是你不要让船摇摇晃晃。
You have something like this also?
not yet.
Don't rock the boat. You get the idea though, yes?
Maybe in Chinese, maybe we say don't shake the foundation.、
Yeah, don't shake the foundation. Yeah, don't rock the boat.
就是相比英语里面说不要让床里面说不要晃晃，我们中国的说法是不要动摇根基。
What is this? Yo yo huang huang.
Yo yo huang huang means rock to and fro.
Ah.
This way, or that way, rocking.
Yeah, yeah. And then, in the next verse, Narada gives a little explanation of how to act.
在接下来的时节里 ，Narada Muni 就给了我们一点点解释，让我们知道该怎么样去活动。
Again, it's kind of humorous.You could read this translation also.
Narada 的说法又是有点幽默色彩。译文，第六节译文，在人类社会中，智者应该使自己的活动计划简明扼要。如果他的朋友、孩子、父母、兄弟或其他人提出建议，他应该表面上同意，说是的，好的，但内心应该下定决心，不制造麻烦的生活，而使生命目标无法实现。
Yes, 好的，好的。Just be agreeable. Whatever they suggest, yes, just 好的，好的。
对，不管别人说什么，你都答应是是是。
是是是。Yeah, because you don't want to cause unnecessary conflict by.Saying what you really think.
你不想说出自己真实的想法来制造这个制造各种各样的矛盾。
I think this is a very also Chinese cultural idea, isn't it?
这是也是中国人的一种文化观念。Yeah, yes.
Yeah, this is a very.I guess Asian idea in general.
Maharaji 认为这是一种广泛的普遍接受的古老的观念。
In the West, especially in America, it's just the opposite. Everyone is kind of, the culture is you should say what you think.
但是在西方，尤其是在美国，这种观念是完全颠倒过来的，是你心里想什么，你就说什么。
Which is maybe why we Westerners are always so disturbed.
这也就是为什么我们西方人总是这么心烦意乱的缘故。
Okay. So then, Narada is talking about Grihastha economics.
然后 Narada 谈论的是居士的经济观念。
And he summarizes that there's basically three sources of goods, of wealth.
他总结了总共有三种类型的财富。
There's divyam, which is translated as basically rainfall or because of rain.
Divyam 是降雨或者是因为雨水而获得的。
Literally coming from heaven.
它的字面意思是来自于天上。
And then there's bomam, which here is defined as coming from inside the earth or from the ocean.
这个 bomam 的意思是从地矿和海洋中获得。
And antariksham, Prabhupada translates as obtained by chance.
Antariksham, Prabhupada 翻译为是偶然获得。
Which is interesting because generally antariksha means between heaven and earth.
这种译法是很有意思的，因为通常这个词的意思是在天地之间获得的。
And my guess is that Prabhupada took this from one of the commentators.
Maharaj 猜测帕布帕德是从一位评述者那里得到了这样的一种说法。
And then it says, Achyuta Nirmita. All of this is Achyuta Nirmita. Everything is made, produced by Achyuta, the Lord.
Achyuta Nirmita, 一切都是由至尊主所创造的。
And then it says, Tatsarvam Upayunjana, everything is to be engaged. Etat kuryat svata buddha. Everything is to be engaged to maintain the body and soul of the living entities.
一切都应该为了维系众生的灵魂和躯体而加以利用。
And svata means obtained of itself without extra endeavor.
Svata 的意思是自然而然的得意，无需额外的努力。
We get this. This is a common idea that we shouldn't work too hard.
这是一种司空见惯的理念。我们不需要过分努力的工作。
Because life is short and we should retain our energy for serving the Lord.
人生是短暂的，我们应该保留自己的能量用于服务主。
And also, Rupa Goswami and his Nectar of Instruction makes this same point.
Rupa Goswami 在教诲的甘露当中也提出了同样的观点。
Atyahara Prayasascha. Prayasa is translated as over endeavor. This is one of the activities, one of the habits that should be avoided to make progress in bhakti.
在教会的甘露当中 ，Rupa Goswami 说，一个人应该不应为了物质的成就而过分努力。Pratyahasa 的意思是
Prayasa
是过分努力的意思。
And of course, this implies that spiritual life, and particularly for householders, we should cultivate a sense of satisfaction.
这就说明了，尤其是对于灵修者，特别是对于居士来说，我们应该培养一种知足的心态。
And Yeah, this satisfaction is, of course, also particularly the quality of Brahmins.
这种乐天知命的知足常乐的心态，尤其是为婆罗门所拥有的。
But it's also one of the principles in the practice of classical yoga.
这也是修行古典瑜伽所应该拥有的一项品质。
There's in the eightfold system, there's first yama, then niyama, and then comes asana.
在八支瑜伽体系中，首先是 yama， 然后是 niyama， 然后是 asana。
And both yama and niyama have five aspects, so 10 altogether.
Yama 和 niyama 各有五个方面，所以总共有十项原则。
And the niyamas, five of them are called practices.Whereas the yamas are the restraints.
Yama 是约束，niyama 是实践。
And the second of the five niyamas is santosha, which means complete satisfaction.
Niyama 中的第二项原则是 santosha， 是完全的自我满足。
Yeah.And so then Narada elaborates in the next verse, which is verse number 8.
在第八节中 Narada Muni 又详细阐述了观点。
In which he's saying, one should, as a householder, accumulate wealth as much as needed,Just for maintaining body and soul together.
一个人只应该为了维系躯体和灵魂的基本需要而积累这么多的财富。
Yavat Vriyeta Jataram Tavat Svatam Hi Dehinam. So as much as fills the stomach, literally.
它的字面意思是就像能够填满胃的那样多的数量。
And then in the second half, adikam ya abhimanyeta, if one is desiring more,
假如一个人渴求更多
,sustaina, that person is a thief.
那样的人就是一个窃贼。
And this may remind us of a verse in Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 3.
这也让我们想起了《国家梵歌》第三章的一首诗节。
Chapter 3, you may know, is about karma yoga.
第三章，大家可能知道，这是行动瑜伽。
And in verse number 12, Krishna, well, in several verses, Krishna's talking about sacrifice.
Krishna 也用了几首诗节来谈论祭祀。
And that one should make effort through sacrifice to please the devas.
一个人应该努力通过祭祀来取悦半圣人。
And in verse 12, he says, Ishtan bogan hi bo deva dasyante yagya bhavita tairdatana pradayayyo yo bungte stena evasa.
第三章十二节也说到半世人掌管着各种各样生活的必需品， 通过祭祀而得到满足之后，也会向你提供一切所需。谁享受这样的礼物而不以礼物来回馈办事人，肯定是一个窃贼。
Yeah. So, apradaya, if one is not offering pradaya to the devas, then stena, one becomes a thief.
假如一个人 apradaya 是不做供奉，那他肯定是 stena, 就是一个窃贼。
And what happens with a thief?Sastena dandam arhati. That person deserves to be punished.
窃贼会有什么样的命运呢？他肯定会受到惩罚。
So we may say a lesson for us. This can be taken as a reminder that whatever food we prepare, we should actually make offering, physical offering to the Lord in his deity form, which can also be in the form of pictures, two-dimensional.
所以这可以提醒我们，无论我们烹饪什么样的食物，都应该实际的供奉给主的神像形体，或者是供奉给照片，主的神像形体的照片。
Okay, and then with verse number 9, we get an injunction of how to see other living beings.
第九节给了我们一个训语，如何去看待其他的生物体。
There's a list of different types of animals.
这里列举了各种各样类型的动物。
Deer, camels, asses, monkeys, mice, snakes, birds, and flies.
这里提到了小鹿、骆驼、驴子、猴子、老鼠、蛇类、鸟类和苍蝇、飞虫。
Atmana putravat pashyet. One should see them all as one's own son.
人应该把他们都视为自己的儿子。
So notice, this is an analogy.
请注意，这实际上是一个比喻。
And the analogy works by having us think about how we would feel about our own child.
这就是用我们对自己的孩子的那种情感来对动物来以此来做一个比方。
Naturally, one has a strong feeling for one's own child.
人很自然的对自己的孩子非常的疼爱。
And one may wonder how could I possibly have such a feeling for any of these animals listed here?
一个人可能会纳闷，我怎么能对这里所列举的动物有这样强烈的情感呢？
We may say, oh, that is impossible.
我们可能会说，这是不可能的。
Or we can think, oh, how wonderful. This must be how great sages are viewing all the living beings.
我们也可以说，哦，这是多么美妙的一种心态呀！肯定是伟大的圣人们，以这样的眼光来看待众生了。
And we can think, okay, I know what it feels like, to have a strong affection for my child.
一个人可能说，我知道，深深的疼爱我自己的孩子。那种感受是怎样的？
So if I could apply a similar feeling to other living beings, how much I would advance spiritually.
如果我要把同样的情感倾注在其他的生物体身上，那在灵性上面我要有多进步才行啊？
And so this is a kind of device, a mental device to help us appreciate all the living beings of Krishna's creation.
所以这也是一种方法，让我们去欣赏Krishna 所创造的各种各样的生物体。
And then this becomes the basis for behaving in the right way, in the best way with all different living beings.
这也是我们以最佳的方式去对待其他生物体的根基所在。
We may think this is too much ideal. It's not realistic.
我们可能说这有点太理想化了，不切实际。
But it is something to we respect because it's spoken by Narada, and then we aspire for it.
但是这是应该我们加以尊重的一种观点，因为这是。Narada Muni 所说的，我们应该渴望能达到这样的境界。
Of course, many of us are not seeing many different animals. We live in the big cities.
当然我们很多人也看不到这么多动物，我们绝大多数人都生活在城市里面。
And maybe we see some birds and we see some flies.
我们可能会看到一些鸟儿，看到一些飞虫。
And we see people's pet dogs and cats.
也看到别人养的宠物狗啊，宠物猫。
But okay, we can do the best we can with whatever living entities we encounter.
但是无论我们遇到什么样的生物体，应该。尽量以最佳的方式去对待他们。
Right now I'm speaking from a place in the country, outside of Warsaw. We are surrounded by big forest.
现在马上就在华沙城市外面的一个乡间，这周围都是森林。
And sometimes we see deer.
有时候我们看到小鹿。
小鹿。And this very morning, there was a deer practically right in front of the door.
有一天小鹿就来到了我们的门口。
So maybe you never see this in Shanghai.
在上海我们从来没见过这种景象。
Which is unfortunate because...It's actually very beneficial for cultivating a sense of being human and being alive to be connected with other animals.
实际上大城市的人是很不幸的，因为去作为一个人类和其他的生物体有所连接，这也是跟自然交流的一种方式。
Yeah. So then, the same theme of satisfaction is in text number 10.
第十节也提到了知足的这种心态。
And the basic principle is we are reminded to recognize the Lord as the source of everything that we receive.
这里所提到的让提醒我们注意的基本原则是要意识到主是我们所得到的一切的源头。
And we also get another principle hinted here. It says, yata desham yata kalam. This is a common principle of Vaishnava ethics.
这里面又提到了 yata desham yata kalam, 这是 Vaishnava 伦理学中的一个原则。
Desha means place and kala means time.
Desha 的意思是地点， kala 的意思是时间。
And yata desha means according to place, and yata kala means according to time.
Yata desha 是根据地点， yata desha kala 是根据时间。
Which suggests that Krishna leaves, and Narada, they leave it up to us to determine the details about what we should do and what we shouldn't do.
这里说了Krishna 和 Narada Muni, 让我们自己决定根据时间和地点我们什么应该做什么不应该做。
And then Narada refers to, we may say, what are considered low class or even less than human beings and how they should all be cared for.
这里也提到了那些被视为是下的人甚至是人类中的最低贱者，他们是应该 得到怎样的照顾？
It starts, verse 11 starts with the word ashva. And this is interesting. The word shva means dog.
Ashva 这个词很有意思，因为 shva 的意思是狗。
And long ah, means up to. So taking different living beings all the way down to the dog, which is always considered very low in the scale.
Ah, 这个称啊就是所有的生物体一直到最低贱的狗。
They should all be taken care of.
他们都应该得到照料。
And then he says something interesting. He says the wife should be available. She should be in the service of guests.
这里也说到妻子应该去服务宾客。
And she is called Svatvagraha, accepted as being identical with oneself.
妻子被称为 Svatvagraha, 就是被视为就是跟自己一样的。
So one...The husband identifies very much with the wife, and the wife with the husband.
丈夫非常的将自己极大的认同于妻子，妻子也同样让自己在很大程度上认同于自己的丈夫。
And this identification with the partner.Can lead to violent action. This is told in verse 12.
但是十二节中说到了这种对夫妻之间的这种相互的认同或者是依附可能会导致暴力的活动。
Because of such attachment to the wife, or the wife for the husband, one could commit a great crime of murder.
因为这个夫妻之间的极大的认同他们可能会导致暴力甚至是谋杀。
And indeed, they say, at least in America, statistically, most crimes are committed in the family.
在美国有统计数据表明，绝大多数的暴力都是发生在家庭之中。
Domestic violence is a big problem in the world.
家庭内部的暴力是整个世界所面对的一个重大的问题。
I think especially in the big cities.
马尔尼认为这样的暴力事件尤其出现在大城市当中。
Because in the big cities, everyone is feeling more stressed.
因为大城市的人更多的是感受到了压力。
Yeah. What do you think? Is that true also in China?
Yes.
So the point Narada is saying is we should cultivate detachment from the partner, whether husband or wife.
Narada Muni 这里就强调了，夫妻之间应该培养不依附的心态。
And we are reminded because attachment tends to be for the physical body of the partner.We are reminded what is going to be the destiny of these bodies.
因为夫妻之间的依附就是对彼此躯体的依附。那么这个躯体它的命运是怎样的呢？
Krimi vit bhasma nishtantam, verse number 13. Maybe you could read this verse.
第十三节。一个人应该通过正确的深思熟虑放弃对妻子肉体的依附，因为那具躯体终将变成小昆虫、粪便或骨灰。这具无足轻重的形体有何价值呢？像天空一样变成万有的至尊之人要比他伟大多少啊。
Yeah, this is the Bhagavatam getting very graphicin description.
现在博伽瓦坛对于描述非常的生动形象了。
And reminding us in this case, with contrast, the greatness of the Lord's.
在这里他又与主的伟大形成了对比。
Our material bodies are so, wretched.But the Lord is so great.
我们的这个物质的躯体是这样的可怜，而主又是这样的伟大。
And then, verse 14, Narada is advising us in Prabhupada's translation to take only prasadam, food offered to the Lord.
十四节 Narada Muni 忠告我们只是荣耀菩萨的就是供奉给主的食物。
And he says, by doing this, we can become liberated.
这是帕帕达的译文他说通过这样做我们可以获得解脱。
And specifically, one becomes detached from the body.
具体的人会不依附于他的躯体。
Yeah, we may think, all these kind of instructions for grihasthas, they're very, very harsh, really.
这些我们可能认为对于居士的所有这些教导都有点太严厉了。
But we want to remember that Narada is speaking about the ashramas, and ashramas, all of them are specifically for spiritual advancement.
我们应该知道那尔穆尼他的教导也是为了所有的灵性是所有的社会阶层的人士而讲的，所有的这些社会阶层都应该努力获得灵性的进步。
If we understand that this principle, then we can be more open to take the instruction, the advice seriously.
如果我们有一个敞开的、开放的心灵，那么我们就会去拥抱这些教导，让我们自己在灵性生活当中取得进步。
Because our first axiom, you can say, our first presupposition is we want to advance spiritually.
我们第一个先决条件是想要在灵性生活当中取得进步。
And so then we ask, what do I have to do? And we take it as we try to be ready for the answer.
然后我们就会询问我们应该怎么做呢？接下来我们就会做好准备来聆听对此的讲解。
And at the same time, we remember yata desha yata kala, according to place and time.
与此同时，我们也会牢记，要根据时间和地点来，聪明地做出决定。
Okay, then Narada is speaking about performance of sacrifice, because ritual of sacrifice, this is standard activity for householders.
Narada Muni 提到了那种根据仪礼而举行的祭祀，因为这种祭祀活动是居士生活一种常规的标准的活动。
And first he's talking about what is called Pancha Yagya. There are five sorts of sacrifice that are done.
他提到了 Pancha Yagya, 有五种类型的祭祀。
In verse 15, maybe you could read this verse.
15节，人每天应该崇拜处于每位生物心中的至尊者，在此基础上还应该分别崇拜半神人、圣者、普通人类和生物、祖先和他自己，如此他便能崇拜处于每个人内心深处的至尊者了。
That's interesting. Here, actually, I just noticed that Krishna speaks of six sacrifices.
这很有意思，因为那儿穆尼提到的不只是五种类型的祭祀，而是六种类型。
Offering, there should be offering to the devas, offering to the rishis, offering to human beings, offering to living entities in general, and offering to the ancestors.And offering to oneself.
因为有像半身人，像圣人，像祖先，还有像这个其他生物体，普通人类，祖先和他自己所做出的供奉。
And each of these has a different process.
每一种供奉呢都有一个特定的供奉的方法。
So one, we offer to the devas, the gods, by performing ritual sacrifice.
我们是通过举行那种祭祀的仪礼来向半神人做出供奉。
And we perform sacrifice to the rishis, the sages, by hearing and chanting and remembering Vedic literature, sacred literature.
我们通过吟诵和意念记忆伟大的神圣的经典而向圣人们做出供奉。
And Nri, the human beings are honored by welcoming them in the house.
欢迎其他人来到自己的家，这就是向其他人来做出像这是就是做出这种尊敬的表示。
This is called Atithi Seva.
这被称为 Atithi Seva.
Atithi means unexpected guest.
Atithi 的意思是那种不速之客。
Yes, in traditional culture, living in the village, it was common that some travelers may come through the village and then the householder is expected to welcome them.
在古代有一些四处漫游的旅行者他们会路过一个人的家门口居士具有资格具有职责把他们迎请到自己的家中来加以款待。
And to offer them food and nice, friendly words.
要向他们献上食物，并且对他们说一些非常友好的话语。
But now we all live in high-rise buildings, with everything locked.
现在，我们都生活在高楼大厦之中。总是把大门锁得紧紧的。
And we don't even know our next door neighbors sometimes.
有时候我们连隔壁邻居叫什么都不知道。
不知道。So this is, yes, times have changed.
世道已经变了。
Oh, and then I was explaining. So, Pitri, then, we offer, sacrifice to the Pitris by performance of the Shraddha ceremony.
通过举行 Shraddha 的仪式，向祖先做出供奉。祖先是 Pitri.
And then, Atmanam, how to worship the self.
Atmana, 如何崇拜自我呢?
By endeavoring for self-realization.
通过努力获得自我觉悟。
Yes, and it says here, Anvaham, these activities should go on every day.
Anvaham, 这样的活动应该每天都进行。
Okay, then...Let's see. Okay, it continues to speak about yagya, offering oblations in the fire.
他还提到了祭祀，向火中投放贡品。
So you may wonder how to do this in a high-rise apartment building.
你可能会想知道，在这样的高楼大厦里面怎么样做这种火祭呀?
If you make fire in your apartment, the smoke will go up and the neighbors will smell and they will call the fire department.
如果在自己家里做火祭,这烟会冒出来,隔壁邻居闻到了以后就会去报警,就会把消防局给找了来。
And so what to do?
那我们应该怎么办呢？怎么举行祭祀啊
？So this is an example of yata desha yata kala, according to time and place.
这就是根据时间和地点来决定的一个范例。
And according to time and place, we instead of doing fire yoga, we offer services to the Lord in His deity form.
根据时间和地点，我们并不是实际的举行活祭，而是向主的神像形体做出服务。
Then the next verse is again speaking about prasadam.
下一首诗节又谈到了 prasadam.
And it's saying, the Lord likes food which is offered in sacrifice, but he actually enjoys more the food which is offered to the Brahmins.
这里说到主喜欢那些供奉给他的食物，但是如果这些食物为婆罗门所品尝，这更令让他喜欢。
And here the idea is that the mouth of the Brahman is compared to the ritual sacrificial fire.
婆罗门的口被比作是祭祀之火。
Because the Brahmins are the most important feature of the Brahmins is what they do with their mouths, which is to speak.
Brahman 的他的一个特征是他的口有什么特征呢？那就是他会会讲述。
And what they speak is supposed to be spiritual instruction.
他会讲述什么呢？他会讲述一些灵性的教导。
And if we feed the Brahmins nicely, they will be naturally pleased. And if they are pleased by our food offering, they will speak some blessings.
如果我们很好的招待了婆罗门，自然而然他们会感到满意。那么他们满意，会有什么样的结果呢？很自然，他会给予我们祝福。
And if the Brahmins speak blessings to us, to our family, then everything will be very nice.
如果婆罗门祝福我们和家人，那么一切都会变得很吉祥。
And so, Narada says in verse 18, you could read this verse.
18节，我亲爱的国王，所以首先给 Brahmana 和半神人供奉 Prasadam， 丰盛的款待他们过后，你应该根据能力给其他生物派发 Prasadam， 这样能够崇拜所有的生物，或换而言之，属于每一位生物心中的至尊生物。
Here Narada is giving the solution of how to please all the different recipients of sacrifice.
那牧尼在这里给了我们一个如何去取悦这个祭祀的所有对象的一个方案。
And then in verse 19, we get some detail about performance of Shraddha, which is the procedure for satisfying the ancestors.
19节给了我们去满足祖先就是 Shraddha 仪式的一些细节。
And here we get the term yata vittam.Before we had yata desham and yata kalam, now we have yata vittam. Vittam means wealth.
这里面有 yata vittam. Vittam 的意思是财富。
财富。And yata vittam means according to how much wealth one has.
Yata Vittam 的意思是根据一个人收入的状况。
So if one is very wealthy, then one should make a nice, opulent offering for the ancestors. If one is very poor, one can make a very simple offering.
一个人如果很有钱，他可以给祖先做出丰盛的供奉。如果一个人很贫穷，那么他可以做一个简单的供奉。
And then in the next few verses, we get a lot of detail about when to offer this Shraddha ritual.
在接下来的时节里面，就是如何做向祖先做出供奉，给我们提供了很多的细节。
And we may wonder why is this so important?
我们可能纳闷这有什么重要性呢？
Why does it matter that one performs the Shraddha on the Makara Sankranti or the Karkata Sankranti?
这个太阳开始向北方运行的那一天，或者太阳开始向南方运行的那一天，举行 Shraddha 仪式，这有什么重要意义呢？
We may say the general idea is to come into harmony with the changing motions of the universe.
这里呢一个普遍的理念是与这个宇宙的运行保持和谐。
And I think this is also very much in traditional Chinese culture.
这也是非常符合中国传统文化里面的天人合一，合乎大道的这种天道的这种规律。
In Indian tradition, we have the notion muhurta.
在印度传统里有这样的一个名词叫 muhurta。
Muhurta can mean simply moment.
Muhurta 可以简单的理解为时刻。
Or it can mean a particular length of time, which is about, I think, 48 minutes.
也可以指一段时间，它可以指就是48分钟的这样长的时段。
But it also has the general sense of getting the right time to do important actions.
然后它也有就是在一些吉祥的时分去做那些重要的活动。
And so, especially for householders, this is considered very important.
对于居士而言，这一点非常的重要。
Because living as a householder, in a sense, it's a dangerous business.
实际上，身为居士，这是一个危险的行当。
Because as a householder, especially, one is very much engaged with material energy.
因为作为这个居士呢，他是和物质能量搅缠的很厉害。
And material energy is always dangerous.
物质能量总是非常危险的。
So to minimize the danger, one is careful to do things at as much as possible at the most favorable time.
为了将这种危险降低到最大的限度，所以一个人应该总是很小心，在这个恰当的时候来做那些重要的工作。
Okay, let's read. Let's read verse 25.
25节，在这些季节变换期间，如果一个人在恒河、亚摩纳河或另一处圣地沐浴， 如果一个人唱诵供奉火祭或履行誓言，或者如果一个人崇拜了至尊主 Brahmana 祖先、半世人和一般生物，无论他布施什么都会产生永恒的益处。
Now, here is an example where Srila Prabhupada gives a little bit addition to what is in the original Sanskrit.
这又是帕布帕德给这个原本的这个梵文诗节做出一点补充的一个例子。
When he mentions the Ganga and the Yamuna rivers, because neither of these are mentioned in the Sanskrit.
因为帕帕提到了恒河、雅穆纳河，因为这两条河，这个原本的梵文世界里根本没有提及。
So then we can look at the word for word, and we see the word snana, which means bathing.
Snana 的意思是沐浴。
And then Prabhupada's word for word translation, bathing in the Ganges, Yamuna, or any other sacred places.
而帕帕的翻译为在恒河、亚穆纳河或其他圣地沐浴。
So, my guess, again, is thatHe's taking this from one of the previous commentaries, Sanskrit commentaries.
所以马哈尔吉又是猜测，帕布帕德是从先前的一位梵文的评述者那里得到这样的说法的。
So a typical commentary like this would read, Snanam Ganga Yamunadi Snanam.
这么一个一位梵文的评述者，他会这么写 ：Snana Ganga Yamuna Adi Snana。
Yeah, the Yamuna Adi, where Adi means beginning with, or it's like etc. in English.
Adi 的意思是等等
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Yeah.
You're there. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. 等等，或者是以恒河为首，首先在恒河中沐浴。
So then we may say, "Oh, I don't live near the Ganga. I don't live near the Yamuna."
一个人可能会说，我住的地方离恒河和亚穆纳河都不近。
I live in an apartment on the 20th floor in Shanghai or in Beijing.
我住在北京或者上海22层楼那么高的地方。
And I can't, there's no river nearby, so what to do?
附近也没有什么河流流淌，那我该怎么办呢？
What you can do is you can...make this a kind of meditation.
您所能做的就是可以把这个作为一种心意当中的冥想。
You can, when you're taking a shower, you can meditate that you are showering with Ganga water.
当你在沐浴的时候，你可以想象你是用恒河水给自己沐浴。
And you can picture in your mind, the Ganga River.
可以在你头脑中想象出恒河的样子。
And if you have had opportunity to visit, the Holy Dham to Mayapur, Vrindavan, where you have visited, and maybe bathed in the Ganga,or the Yamuna, then you can remember that experience.
如果你有机会去拜访玛雅普或者文达文，有幸在恒河或亚穆纳河中沐浴， 你可以去想象当时的感受。
And if you haven't had that opportunity, you can hanker for that opportunity.
如果你没有这样的幸运，你可以渴望得到这样的幸运。
To remember the Holy Dham is a form of service to the Holy Dham. It's called Dhamma Seva.
意念圣地也是对圣地的一种服务，称为 Dhamma Seva。
And also it's said to have a longing to go to the holy place, to go to Vrindavan or Navadvip, Mayapur. That is also Dhamma Seva.
渴望来到玛雅普文达文也是一种服务，也是 Dhamma Seva。
Okay, the next verses, Narada is speaking about places, desha, which are auspicious.
接下来 Narada Muni 提到了那些吉祥的地方 ,desha.
And his first in the list of what is auspicious is a place where there are Vaishnavas.
他首先觉得吉祥的地方是 Vaishnava 所居之地。
And then Bimbam, the word Bimbam is interesting. It means deity of the Lord.
Bimbam 这个词很有意思，它的意思是主的神像。
There's two words, bimba and pratibimba.
有两个词，一个是 bimba 和 pratibimba。
Pratibimba means a reflection, and bimba is the source of the reflection.
Pratibimba 是折射，反射，而 bimba 是这种反射的源头。
Yeah, and then again, verse 29, yatra yatra harer archa sa desha shreyasam padam. That place, wherever is the archa form of the Lord, sa desha, that place is shreyasam, it is most auspicious.
哪里有主的神像形体，那个地方就是最为吉祥的。
And also the Ganga is very auspicious.
恒河也是非常吉祥的。
And then Narada gives a long list of holy places.
然后Narada Muni 列举了很多的圣地。
Yes, we could read starting verse number
30, 31, 32, 33. 那米沙人亚帕勒古河的岸边塞图班达帕巴萨多拉卡瓦拉纳西马图拉红帕宾都萨罗瓦巴德瑞卡沙姆南达河游过的地方主拉玛川者和母亲西塔托布的地方如奇特斯库塔还有名叫马汉卓和马拉亚的丘陵地带，这些地方都被视为最虔诚和最神圣的地方。同样，希望在灵性上进步的人必须拜访和崇拜印度以外的 Krishna 支局活动的中心，以及惹了 Krishna 神像受到崇拜的地方。
希望在灵性生活中进步的人可以拜访所有这些地方，并且举行仪式典礼，从而得到比在任何其他地方履行同样活动好过一千倍的结果。
Yeah, so this is what householders are advised to do. Go on pilgrimage.
这就是对居士所做出的忠告，去做朝圣。
And one reason for this is that pilgrimage kind of forces one to be detached.
其中一个道理是朝圣迫使人产生不依附。
Because one has to endure many different conditions. Often they will be quite uncomfortable conditions of traveling and staying at places.
因为旅行呢，就使人不得不去接受一些困难的状况。特别是他在旅行的时候，要面对不同的地方，就会要容忍不同的处境。
And traveling can be dangerous.
旅行也可以是非常危险的。
There may be highway robbers.
可能有一些江洋大盗。
Yeah, some years ago, I heard of one Western devotee in Vrindavan, who was just walking in Vrindavan town alone, and he was robbed. He had a lot of money with him, and everything was taken.
我听说西方的一位奉献者在几年前在文达文的这个镇上走的时候，他随身带了很多钱，结果就被人抢得一干二净。
Yeah, so it's a kind of tradition in India that pilgrims are targets for robbers.
在印度有这样的传统，朝圣者是强盗的洗劫对象。
And if it's not robbers, thieves in Vrindavan, there are the monkeys.
就算你侥幸逃过了强盗的魔掌，在印度文达文还有猴子等着你。
So many newcomer visitors to Vrindavan who wear glasses lose their glasses to the monkeys.
很多西方的奉献者或者是新来到印度的那些奉献者都被猴子抢了眼镜。
Yeah, so then the conclusion of this is given in verse 34.
34节就给我们做了一个定论。
Patram tvatra niruptam vai pavidi patra vittamai. The word patra means receptacle.
Patra 的意思是可以接受的。
And this verse is saying that the best receptacle, the best recipient of one's offerings,at all of these places of pilgrimage is the Supreme Lord.
在这个这首诗节里说到，所有这些圣地最值得接受崇拜的便是至尊主。
And this is mentioned because before we had Yata Desha, we had Yata Kala, and we had one other, Yata Vitta,And now you can say Yata Patra.
之前我们有根据时间、地点和财富来做决定的 聪明做法。现在呢就有了 Yatapatram。
Because Desha, Kala, and Patra, these three things are the typical three factors in deciding what is to be done at any particular, in any particular situation.
So you mean Desha,
Kala, and the Patra?
Yes, all three. So whenever we need to make a decision, we consider the desha, the kala, and the patra.
如果我们需要去做一个决定的话，我们可以去考虑desha, 地点和 patra, 这个适合接受的对象。
But here it's saying desha and kala, they may change, that's all right. But the patra is always the same. It's Hari, it's the Supreme Lord.
时间和地点可以发生变化，这个没有关系。但是最适合接受的人选那就是至尊主，他应该始终不变。
Oh, and now this is very nice. You could read verse number
35. 35节 Yudhishthira 王啊，半圣人，许多伟大圣贤和圣哲，甚至包括主 Brahma 的四个儿子在内，以及我本人，都亲临了您的 Rajasuya 祭祀仪式。但是当提出谁应该是最被崇拜的人的问题时，每个人都择定了至尊人物主 Krishna.
Now this brings us all the way back, in a sense, to the very beginning of Canto 7.
这又把我们在某种意义上又带到了第七篇开始的地方。
When King Yudhishthir has been performing, performing this Rajasuya sacrifice.
那时候尤迪斯提尔大君正在举行他的盛大的王祭 Rajasuya 祭祀。对。
This is described in detail in the Mahabharata.
Mahabharata 中详细的描述了这一事件。
So in the beginning of the Rajasuya,one of the rituals, one of the first rituals, is to worship the senior most person who is present.
这种王祭的一个仪式就是首先去崇拜那个最为年长的人。
And so it is decided that Krishna will receive this.Ritual worship called Argya.
那时候大家一致公认 Krishna 应该接受这种崇拜，这被称为 Argya.
So when Krishna is chosen to receive the Argya, what happens?
当 Krishna 被选定来接受这个 Argya 的时候，发生了什么事儿？
Krishna's cousin Shishupal speaks up and protests.
Krishna 的表兄弟 Shishupal 开始出言抗议了。
And his protest went on and on and on. He kept making one insult after another.
他抗议个不停，侮辱的话语一句接着一句。
And Krishna patiently listened while Shishupal insulted him.
在与此同时 ，Krishna 一直耐心的聆听，这些出言，这些非常不敬的话语。
And before this, incident, long before, Krishna had made a promise to Shishupal's mother. And the promise was I will not kill your son, even he will insult me 100 times.
在这件事情发生很久之前，西树泡曾经对西树泡的Krishna 对西树泡的母亲他的阿姨亲口答应即便你的儿子侮辱我100遍我都不会杀掉他。
So, Shishupal insulted Krishna 101 times.
但是 Shishupal 侮辱了 Krishna 101遍。
And on the final insult, Krishna manifested his Sudarshan Chakra and threw it at Shishupal and sliced off his head.
等到师叔宝侮辱 Krishna 第108遍之后 ，Krishna 展示出了他的 Sudarshan Chakra， 就砍下了师叔宝的头。
And when Shishupal's head fell on the ground, everyone present saw how the spirit spark of Shishupal left his body.And entered into the body of Krishna.
当师叔炮的头颅落到地上的时候，在场的每一个人都看到了师叔炮的灵魂，这个火花进入了 Krishna 的身体之中。
And when Yudhishthir saw that, he was completely shocked.
当 Yudhishthir 看到这样的情形的时候，他大为震惊。
How is this possible?
这怎么可能呢?
Shishupal is such a rascal.
Shishupal 是这样的一个无赖。
And still, Krishna allows his spirit soul self to enter into his own body. How is this possible?
但是 Krishna 依然允许 Shishupal 的灵魂进入了他自己的躯体。这怎么可能呢?
And that's when he asks Narada, how is this possible? And Narada answers.
他问 Narada, 这是怎么回事? Narada Muni 就做出了回答。
And Narada's answer to Yudhishthir is the 7th canto of the Bhagavatam.
Narada Muni 对 Yudhishthir 大君的回答就构成了薄伽瓦坛的第七篇的全部内容。
And so now we're near the end of the 7th canto, and Narada is reminding Yudhishthir of what happened.
现在我们已经到了第七篇的尾声 ,Narada Muni 又在提醒Yudhishthir大君发生了什么样的事儿。
He says, when there was a question of who should be the first person worshipped,Everyone decided on Lord Krishna, the Supreme Person.
当提出谁最应该首先接受崇拜的时候，当时大家公认应该是圣主 Krishna.
And here he's making, in a way, he's answering Shishupal. Shishupal didn't understand that Krishna is the Supreme Person.
他这里说到师叔婆不知道 Krishna 就是至尊人格神。
And his point here then, at the end of verse 36 is, therefore, simply by worshipping Lord Krishna, one can worship all living entities.
因此他在36节强调了这一点，仅仅通过崇拜主 Krishna,一个人便能够崇拜所有的生物。
And in the next verse he says, the Lord is present, he's residing in the bodies of all living beings.
在下首诗节里面说到至尊主他居住在所有的生物体的躯体之中。
And since he is present in all living beings, if one is worshipping him, then he will please all living beings.
啊，因为他也他居众生的躯体之中，所以一个人如果要是崇拜至尊主，他就是他就会取悦所有的生物体。
And then, in verse 39, Narada gives some, you could say, yuga history.
在39节中，可以说 Narada Muni 给我们讲述了这个年代的历史。
He says, when disrespectful dealings began in Treta Yuga, then Archa was introduced in the next yuga.
当从 Treta 年代出现了彼此不敬的现象时候，那么对崇像崇拜呢，就被引入了下一个年代之中。
So this suggests that by practicing archa, one can counteract or one can minimize the danger and the tendency of disrespectful dealings.
这里就暗示了，如果从事神像崇拜，就可以去抵消对人不敬所造成的危险。
But then he says, some people, some devotees may worship the Lord, but they will disrespect, they think I can just worship the Lord and I can disrespect others.
有些人呢，有些奉献者认为，我可以崇拜主的神像，但是我可以对其他人不敬。
But he says the Lord is not satisfied with that.
但是这里说到主是对这样的行为感到非常的不高兴。
And then he glorifies the Brahmins.
Sorry, Maharaj. Just now, you say that the Lord is upset with this kind of this kind of wrong mentality will be counteracted by the worship.
What I was saying is the Lord is not satisfied by worship of the deity if the person worshiping the deity is not respecting people and living entities.
Yes, 如果一个崇拜主的神像的形体的人，对其他生物体不敬的话呢，主是不会对他的崇拜感到满意的。
And so he concludes this chapter by glorifying the Brahmanas.
这最后以对婆罗门的荣耀来结束了这一章的内容。
And why is this? It's because the Brahmins, by their preaching, sanctify the three worlds with the dust of their lotus feet.
为什么呢？因为婆罗门通过传教以他自己莲花足下的尘土净化了整个世界。
And thus, it says, they are even worshipable by Krishna.
甚至他值得 Krishna 本人的崇拜。
So, of course, they have to be qualified and practicing and acting as real Brahmins.
当然，这样的婆罗门必须是通过他的修习和行为举止，使自己具备资格。
Which means that they.Understand what is Brahman, and more specifically, what is the Supreme Brahman.
这就意味着这样的婆罗门应该理解什么是梵，更为重要的是理解什么是至尊梵。
Okay, and so we have finished chapter 14.
我们就讲完了第14章。
And the next time we meet. I'm probably going to be either in America or in South America.
下次讲课的时候，Maharaji 不是在美国，就是在南美。
So we'll have to see, when we can meet again.
要看，Maharaji 要看，我们什么时候还能再讲下一次课。So approximately what time?
Approximately. Well, let's see. I'm looking at a calendar now. I mean, third. I'm not 100% sure. We might try for 2 weeks from now.
Okay. So,
if that's practical.
Okay. 那就是再过半再过两个礼拜看我们是不是有可能那请马哈尔吉再给我们讲课。
But we will have to confirm, because I'm not sure if this will work.
现在马哈尔吉还不能确定我们再跟马哈尔吉提前预约啊。
And right now, I have to run because we have another program very soon, and I have to quickly have lunch, and then we have our next program.
Okay. 现在马哈尔吉要尽快他说我要跑了，现在要快点吃完午饭，然后去参加另外一个节目。
So, I will say thank you all so much, and especially to you, Gopi Krishna, for nice translation.
马哈尔吉说非常感谢大家，也感谢 Gopi Krishna 的翻译。Sorry, Maharaj, I didn't do well.
Oh, I'm sure it was very good.
sorry, I'm not well prepared.
Yeah, that's quite okay.
Thank you, Maharaj. So,
yes, and Sati Maharaj, thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai.
Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. China Yatra ki jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bo.